That's my music. This is Dr. Diana Wiley. Sex, sex, sex. Well, we hear so much about this every day and in every way. We learn as we grow from childhood into old age. What we learn, well, it may affirm that sex is good and a pleasurable thing if we are lucky, or may be less positive if we are not. And this program, Love, Lust, and Laughter, addresses many of these issues. When illness happens, particularly something as life-threatening as cancer, many men and women don't know what will happen to them sexually. This is a very important topic, and Joan Price is with me again. We did part two last week. I mean, part one last week, and now we're doing part two. Her wonderful book, award-winning book, Naked at Our Age, Talking Out Loud About Senior Sex, has a chapter 12, Reclaiming Sexuality After Cancer. And I love Joan's upbeat manner. You know, she's been dubbed as senior sexpert and a wrinkly sex kitten. How do you feel about that, Joan Price?
I happen to love that, my dear. I'm still working on living up to that.
That's great. That's great. You have a wonderful website and an amazing blog. And this is joanprice.com. She is an advocate for ageless sexuality. And we talked about her book a bit last week, and then she's been on this program before, the beginning of this year and last year as well. And your book, Naked at Our Age, received two awards, Outstanding Service Self-Help Book 2012, and this was from the American Society of Journalists and Authors.
Yes.
And also Professional Organization of Nonfiction Writers, and 2012 Book Award for a Major Contribution Toward Understanding Sexuality of Seniors from ASECT, which is an organization where I go to their conferences at least once a year, and that would be American Association of Sexuality Educators, Counselors, and Therapists.
Yes.
So,
and that's such an honor because these are the two major professional organizations in my two fields. And for both of them to select this book as the book of the year, I just can't tell you how thrilling that is.
And I hope it increased book sales. It must have.
I hope so.
Yeah.
It's the author is the last to know about that sometimes.
Yeah. Naked at Our Age, Talking Out Loud About Senior Sex, you have corralled 45 experts.
Yes.
I'm proud to be one of them in your book. And my friend and good friend Candida Royale is another person, another expert in your book.
Yes.
And there are so many others, people who've been on this program, like Candida Royale has been on, and Michael Castleman. So you tap from the best. And
yes. Well, see, that's what I wanted to do is there are people who think they're alone in having questions about their sexuality. Is this normal? Is it all over? Is there anything that I can do to improve this?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did was I got the experts who have the answers to those questions, and I put them together with the reader stories, and voila, we have this amazing guidebook now for just about everything you might encounter regarding senior sex, or the lack thereof sometimes.
Yes, and there are lots of questions among seniors about the lack thereof,
mm-hmm.
and it happens quite a lot when someone is faced with sexuality. And they're wondering, will I live? How much longer do I have? And you write in your book how healing sexuality can be, even when faced with cancer,
And you said right. dealing with sexuality, and I know you meant dealing with cancer.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Okay,
yes.
I knew that, but I'm not sure all your listeners
yeah,
did.
Thank you, Joan. And you say reclaiming sexuality was an emotional imperative, and you're a way to affirm that he was fully alive and that his body was capable of pleasure, not just disease and treatments. And you're referring to your late husband, Robert.
Right.
Would you talk a little bit about Robert?
Yes. Robert and I met when he was 64 and I was 57. So it was a very late in life romance, and we didn't realize how late in life it was going to be because Robert and I, it turned out, only had 7 years together, but they mm-hmm. were 7 glorious years.
Yeah.
And a couple of years into our relationship, Robert was diagnosed with lymphoma and leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
It was a huge shock, and yet they didn't want to treat it yet. As you probably know, often for a slow-growing cancer, they will choose to what they call watch and wait and mm-hmm. not have treatment right away because the treatment can often be more detrimental than it is effective if it's too soon or done when not really needed. And so we did the watch and wait thing. It didn't seem to affect his health except that he had less energy. He was painfully aware of having less energy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a man who danced through his entire life and was always active and did, as a younger man, did gymnastics and was a competitive diver and, you know, was always very, very active. And he didn't stop being very active, but mm-hmm. he was aware and he thought first, though I'm getting older, so I guess I'm slowing down. And it turned out it was really the cancer. But he did not need treatment until about 5 years into our relationship, so 3 years into the cancer. And then they said, you know, this is really impacting your comfort, mm-hmm. which I was very aware of. And he had sort of forgotten what it was like to feel healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't even as aware as I was. Robert, you don't usually feel like you're saying you're feeling. Let's get those tests done again. And it turned out he needed to be treated with chemo. And as detrimental as chemo was, I don't want to discourage anyone from doing it because the thing is, it gave Robert 2 more years of health.
Yeah.
Once the 6 months of chemo were over, and those 6 months were not a walk in the park by any means. Once they were over and he started to get his energy back, he had his health for another 2 years. He had 2 more years of quality of life, not just life, that he wouldn't have had otherwise. But then, I'll make this short, his blood levels were not getting back to normal the way they were supposed to, so they ran some more tests, and it turned out he had yet a third cancer, and this was multiple myeloma.
Mm.
And that's what he ended up dying of.
Mm.
Yeah.
When a partner dies, and I also know this firsthand, although my late husband died in 2000, so it's been 12 years, a lower libido can be a part of the physiological process of grief and depression. And I found that it seemed no matter what my body wanted, my mind would, at least in the first year or so, my mind just would not come along.
Uh-huh.
So sex in the face of grief can represent a need for reassurance. If one decides to move ahead and be sexual, sometimes it'll take a while for that to happen.
Sometimes it'll take months. Sometimes it'll take years.
Exactly.
I do have a chapter on grief in Naked at Our Age.
Yes, you
which
do.
Which is about the least sexy thing you can talk about, but it
yeah.
needed to be there because
mm-hmm.
those of us who have experienced grief and know that for a period of time, sometimes a very long period of time, when we don't want another partner, we don't want anything except for our lost one to come back to life.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea of sex is just sex. That has nothing to do with my reality right now. And yet, what is very important, and I knew this because of my work as a sex educator,
yeah.
I knew that self-pleasuring is so important during times, any kind of situation where you're not having partnered sex. It's very important, especially at our age, just to keep everything working. Otherwise, it won't be working when we want it to again.
It's very, very true. I have often said to clients, female clients, who are no matter what age, but it's usually women who are past middle age and older women, that if they are grieving or mm-hmm. if they're between partners, that masturbation is really important. It's really important so that they can stay juicy.
Yes.
And I will suggest, too, that they might even use sex toys, maybe one on the clitoris and another one inside.
Mm-hmm. I agree absolutely with that.
Yeah, because those vaginal walls need to be exercised.
Yes,
so
and
the woman can bear
entrance,
down.
The muscles at the entrance. Otherwise, they'll start to sort of clamp down and as if,
yeah.
well, you don't need me anymore. So,
yeah, again, it's a use it or lose it kind of.
It really is. It really
thing.
Is. And I was seeing a grief counselor regularly, and I really advise that because this is their day job. They know how to give us strategies.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so important to me. And I said at one point to my counselor, I have had no sexual desire. I know I should be keeping myself sexually healthy through self-pleasuring, but I don't even know if it would work.
Mm-hmm.
And she
mm-hmm.
said, if you've got a vibrator, it will work.
That's good.
And I said, honey, I have a house full of vibrators. And she was right.
So and did that help you then move
relief.
Forward?
It's wonderful stress relief.
Of course it is.
So we think, oh, I can't possibly get into it. But our bodies are designed for this.
Mm-hmm.
They are designed to respond when properly stimulated. So just get the stimulation going, and oh, surprise, you could be carried to a wonderful place.
And an orgasm, oh, well, it is stress relieving, and it is that wonderful place for many.
It's a nice sedative too for if you have trouble sleeping.
Yeah.
I mean, grief affects everything.
Mm-hmm.
It affects every part of our life.
Every
we
part.
We don't sleep right. We don't eat right. We forget to take our medications. And, there's so much, and yet sex, whether it's with ourselves or with a partner or with a well-placed sex toy, can make such a difference in our peace of mind and our physical balance as well as psychological balance.
That is very true, Joan. Your book is filled with useful information, including in your chapter, Reclaiming Sexuality After Cancer, speaking of orgasms, one of your experts, and this is Ann Katz, and I've heard her speak.
She's so good.
Yeah, I think an ASEC conference.
Mm-hmm.
She reminds us that orgasms are still possible even with a flaccid penis.
That's right.
And I've been telling my male clients who've had prostate cancer and or they have ED for other reasons. If a woman is performing fellatio, he can still reach orgasm or even a hand job.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to have an erection. And some men will say, well, when my penis isn't erect, not all men will say this, but some, I can feel even more.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Often
men are very surprised by the idea that they can be aroused and have an orgasm without an erection.
I know.
They're shocked. They didn't know.
They didn't know. And that's probably because so many men are very identified with their hard penis.
Yes, well, it's led them by the hand, so to speak. Hard penis led them by the hand to discover their sexuality in the first place, pun intended, of course.
Of course.
And now that it's not signaling that, hello, here I am, take hold, then they don't know there's a reason to... Plus, they're often so depressed by not having erections anymore, whether it's because of cancer, because of cancer treatment, because of any other kind of medications, or for whatever other reason. And there's always a reason or more behind it.
That's so, exactly right. And I've seen, I have clients who are depressed after prostate cancer, and it's like a big part of me is gone.
Yes.
And then the other thing that happens is that many people are so involved in their fight against cancer that they get depressed when the fight is over.
So I don't know that they ever believe it's over. I think they believe they've been given a respite from it.
Right, a respite.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are some people that think, you know, I'm going to have this as a chronic kind of fight for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But in some cases, antidepressants can be a lifesaver. So that these people with depression check in with their doctors. Now, of course, the ironic thing is that many antidepressants also lower libidos.
Yes.
With one exception, and that seems to be Wellbutrin.
Okay.
And that does not seem to have the sexual side effects. So for you men and women out there who are depressed and not on any antidepressant, you might pay attention to and ask your doctor about Wellbutrin.
And also, often the doctor doesn't think to, I mean, it's silly, but it's true. Doctor doesn't think to ask you, are any of the medications I've prescribed for you interfering with your sex life?
Mm-hmm.
They don't think to ask that. So it's really up to us to say, hello, this definitely took the edge off my depression, but now I'm getting more depressed because I don't want to have sex anymore.
Exactly.
And often
and
it'll
that's
just
a
be a
very
matter
big problem.
Of changing the medication, mm-hmm. trying something else.
Yes, and sometimes it's also a matter of titration.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That it may be too much or whatever, but
Some people have talked to me about the timing of the medications, too.
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes if you plan to have sex right before you take your meds instead of taking them at the usual time, having sex at the usual time, whatever that is, but you just schedule things around when you want to have sex.
No, that can definitely help.
Yeah.
Yes. So with people with cancer, very often lots more cuddling. And you speak about this. You quote Yvonne, age 58, in your chapter about reclaiming sexuality after cancer. She says, cuddling is a great source of comfort and intimacy for us. We are both in shock over the pleasure this sexual relationship gives us. We are in love. I truly believe that we could only reach this level of connection and intimacy in a spiritually committed relationship. We're getting married in June. This
Isn't
is a happy
wonderful?
Ending.
Yeah.
But, yes, so many people in the face of cancer reframe it. Sex does not equal intercourse. I'm always preaching about that. There are all these other things to do, but so many people are so genitally focused that they don't get that.
Or they're focusing on what they've lost rather than what they have.
Oh, yes. Say a little more about that, because that's a very important statement and philosophy.
I think this is true not just in sex, but in everything in life.
Yes.
That if we focus on the things that we love that are possible now,
mm-hmm.
that we're going to be happier people and more active and more fulfilled than if we focus on what we've lost. And that's so hard to do. You know, here am I, who am I preaching that when I've been grieving Robert for 4 years?
Yes,
I know. It's very hard, very hard. But I do make a point of saying to myself, I really love my life. I love this, I love this, I love this, that this is happening, this is happening. And I don't know how this works for other people, but for me it works to tell Robert about these things.
Oh, so you communicate with
Robert, honey,
with him.
Look
yeah.
at this award we just won.
We just won.
Yeah.
Do you feel... Well, this is maybe too personal a question, but you'll tell me if you can answer it or not. Do you feel like your spiritual life has deepened as a result of Robert's death, and do you feel like you're communicating pretty directly with him?
I do, and it's a surprise to me because I never expected that.
Mm-hmm.
I would say in my grief, send me a dream.
Ah,
and then I wouldn't have a dream, but I would find a lizard in my shoe, and I'd laugh. Where did that come from? Oh, Robert sent it. No, so
was this lizard alive or dead?
Yes, it was alive. It had crawled into my shoe. It'd come in a hole in the wall.
Oh, I see. Okay.
A little snuggled in a hole in the wall and settled in my shoe, and I thought, okay, this was sent by Robert to make me laugh.
Uh-huh.
And I'll do that with lots of things. I may be deluding myself, but the point is it makes me feel better. So who cares? Nobody came back from the dead to explain what can happen and what can't happen. So
and life, you know, we have, there are lots of mysteries.
Yeah, so
and
I'm just going to make myself feel better any way I can.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one point where I felt I was having a conversation with Robert, and
mm-hmm.
I was asking for his advice, and he gave me the advice. And then I said, is this really you, or am I making it up? And he said, it doesn't matter.
That's important. After my Charlie died, I had about a year where... Well, frankly, through a psychic, I had communication with him. And it's sort of not as common now that I feel a communication with him, but I still often feel his presence. And we were very fortunate to have lived in Hawaii, paradise. And I find that I will... think about Hawaii and paradise and how glorious it was and how happy we were from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose it's one part of the way I honor him.
Yes, yes.
So you were talking about laughing, so this is not exactly a great transition. But,
oh, it's superb.
But in your book... Because you do, you quote people, and there is humor, and this program is, after all, called Love, Lust, and Laughter.
Yes.
So you are quoting a guy named Gerald, who's 73, and he's recovering from radical prostate cancer, and he's in a prostate cancer support group. And they're saying how they could have sex. They had difficulty having sex if they were leaking urine because there is this incontinence aspect for some of these guys. And he ended with, my wife is willing to be pissed off, but not pissed on.
Isn't that wonderful?
So he's dealing with, you know, an embarrassing problem, but with humor.
Yes.
And that often will rule the day.
Yes.
And there is a way to deal with this, and that has to do with a cock ring.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, men can put a condom on during oral sex, for instance.
Uh-huh.
But there's also a something that I used to do some consulting for a company called Vivas. Mm-hmm. And they have a constriction band called Actis, A-C-T-I-S.
Uh-huh.
And this is available for purchase online. And so what this does, the band is made of latex and is placed at the base of the penis and tightened. Mm-hmm. And so it compresses the urethra inside the penis and prevents urine from leaking out.
Ah.
And
is that comfortable to wear? Is it very
well,
tight?
I don't think for very long. I mean,
okay.
I haven't tried it, obviously. I don't have a penis, but...
now you tell me.
So, but apparently Vivas is selling a good number of these, so it must work.
Mm-hmm.
And it works for guys who really can't get erections either, because you can't put a condom on a flaccid penis.
Right.
So, but, you know, these are all kind of tricky interventions. And
it is tricky. And wouldn't it be nice if there were cancer support groups that dealt with sexuality?
There are, but not enough of them.
Not enough.
And
huh?
Then also, I'm a little biased about this, but professional help can be a great benefit.
Of course.
So ask for a referral to a sexuality counselor, a therapist who has experience
yes.
working with men and women.
Yes.
Because we're going to also talk about women who've had cancer. And then I also suggest to people that if a therapist has been helpful, tell your urologist and
yes.
family physician so that they can help their other patients with such referrals.
Absolutely.
Because so often a good sex therapist that can help the conversation get started, the communication get started,
yes.
is really, really useful.
Well, you're absolutely right.
Yes. So we're coming up to the half-hour break, how quickly this goes by. And I'd really like to continue with this discussion because there's so much in your chapter, Reclaiming Sexuality After Cancer. I know that this program has many younger listeners, but if you're younger and listening to this, you may have parents or you may know older people that are facing cancer. And you may want to put them onto the archived version of this. And you and I discussed, I think last year on one of these programs, how seniors who are sexually active really can share a lot about sexuality with younger people.
That's part of my mission, is to get us talking out loud about senior sexuality. And
yeah.
that means not shying away from the fact that, yes, we are having sex or wanting to have sex or enjoying sex or wanting to enjoy sex more. Let all that get out of the open. I wouldn't say necessarily tell your grandkids that, but certainly tell
right.
your friends, tell your doctor, tell. Just let that be normal. Why
yes.
can't that be normal?
Yes, it's one of the last taboos that's mm-hmm. lingering around. All right, Joan, we're going to go to the break, and when we come back, we'll continue this discussion. I'm so glad you're back for part two.
Thank you.
And we'll be back soon, so stay tuned.
Cosa leggerai? Con che libro affascini il tuo cuore? E se ti perderai? Nel labirinto di un amaro autore. Ma i tuoi piedi, tap, 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 tap. Ma i tuoi piedi, tap, 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 tap. Oh, happy feet, ta-da-da, happy feet, ta-da-da.
This is PRN.FM, FM, FM. Your source for progressive radio that makes a difference. Difference, difference.
The whole prison cop. complex is private. One hand washes the other. That's why drugs are illegal. It's a moneymaker for everybody. It's just like with war. That's why we don't want peace, because our number one export's weapons.
What's going on there, man? How you doing?
What was the question again?
The question was, would you eat your pet?
No. If I had to, yes.
Bear Man Radio Show is live Thursday nights at 9 in the East on the Progressive Radio Network.
Progressive Radio Network is extremely proud to announce the official PRN mobile app. Keep up with the Progressive Radio Network on the go, whenever and wherever, 24-7, with one-touch access to listen live, archives and podcasts of our latest shows, health, politics, and environmental news, featured op-eds, videos, and click to call us with just one touch. Plus, keep in touch with all our hosts via Twitter and Facebook. Download the app for free at prn.fm/mobile and keep moving forward with us.
Hello, this is Richard Martin to remind you that I'll be looking out for you on Mondays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time to give you the latest from the financial world and to let you know just how bad things are getting. I'll be telling you things you'll never get to hear in the mainstream media. So join me here on The Wake Up Call. You can listen to the show at any time from the archives, and if you like the show, rate us on iTunes. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Hi, I'm Sandy Leon Best, host of Political Analysis. Welcome to the 21st century, where the corporate propaganda machine works 24-7 to manufacture your reality. Every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Political Analysis challenges the corporate narrative with independent news, analysis, and passionate conversations on the most critical issues of our time. Don't let the corporate echo machine become your truth. Tune in live to Political Analysis or visit the archives at prn.fm. If you like the show, rate us in iTunes. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you are coming with us.
Hi, it's me, John Mueller, host of The Expat Files, broadcasting twice a week from somewhere deep down in the heart of Latin America. The Expat Files is a show that explains what it's really like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. You can catch The Expat Files on Mondays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and of course in the archives. And don't forget, we'd like you to rate the show in iTunes. So whether you're interested in jumping off the first world treadmill or are just curious about Latin America, take it from me, a guy who's been down here 20 plus years. The Expat Files is tailor-made for you. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
You are listening to PRN.FM, the Progressive Radio Network.
We're back. This is Dr. Diana Wiley. I'm here with Joan Price, the wonderful, award-winning author of Naked at Our Age, talking out loud about senior sex. And we are focusing in on reclaiming sexuality after cancer. And in your chapter on this subject, you have a very important part about learning acceptance. And you write clearly, it's easier to deal with cancer with a loving partner. But many of us take that journey on our own. And Sadie has much to teach us about self-acceptance and creatively living life. And then you quote Sadie at age 71, who faced and was living with cancer. And she happens to be a lesbian woman. And she writes, finding a woman who wants to enjoy her body and sexual pleasure as much as I do is the difficult part. It is still not the easiest thing for lesbians to find each other. And then I just want to quote her one more part of what she said, because this is really good relationship advice for any gender, any sexual orientation. And she writes, and you quote her, I wasted a lot of my life staying in relationships where I was not happy. Never again. A healthy relationship takes problem solving, listening skills, courage, and the willingness to ask for what you want.
That's true whether we have cancer or not, isn't it?
It really is. It's such good relationship advice. How did you find these wise people to quote in your book?
Isn't it wonderful?
Yes.
Well, this person actually was in Better Than I Ever Expected, Straight Talk About Sex After 60.
Oh, yes.
60. That was my first senior sex book, and at that point it was mostly my own story, and I had some snippets of interviews with people I called sexually seasoned women, and Sadie was one. And then when I was planning this book, I sent out emails to everyone who had been in the first book, had been interested in the first book, who were interested in anything that I do of any sort, and of course networked in other ways too, blogs I was active on, my blog, and I got lots of people who wanted to tell their stories, and hers started as an update to where she had been in the first book, and then went on with many other things that she wanted to say. This was 5 years later. It's so interesting. I'm still getting updates from a lot of these storytellers, as I call them. They're telling me, I sent out a notice about the awards the book had won and thanking them for their part in making that possible,
as
I also did to all the experts. And many of the storytellers updated their stories at that point. And it's just so interesting to see what happens. Like there was one person who had left her marriage to go off with a younger man, and now, years later, she's as happy as can be with him still.
Still.
And things like this are just so marvelous to read, and sometimes the turn of events isn't so marvelous, but that's, again, that life will take us places and we'll take it places. All we can do is live fully at every stage of our life. I think that's what we can do.
That's what we can do. And speaking of telling stories, if any of you listening to this program live want to call in with your own story, we would welcome that. And the number is 888-874-4888.
Or if they have questions about anything to do with older age sexuality.
Exactly. And you've got an expert in Joan Price. And another backup expert with myself.
Oh, you're a great expert all by yourself, dear.
So you've got two experts, and I really like working with Joan. She's articulate and has these two books which have made such a difference to so many people, especially people that feel like they're older and maybe their sex life is over, whether they have cancer or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so you give people hope and guidance.
Thank you.
Yes. And so another person who gives guidance, and you mention him in this chapter, and that's Mark Schoen, Dr. Mark Schoen. And
mm-hmm.
he's been on this program. He's a friend of mine. And his sex ed videos are really quite wonderful. So if you go to sexsmartfilms.com, you will see his website. And I know in your book, Joan Clark, age 58, he said he started researching sexuality and attending workshops about cancer and intimacy and watching sex ed videos.
Mm-hmm.
On Sex Smart Films. So all of this, well, the more we know, most people get very anxious if they don't know enough.
Mm-hmm.
They want more information. So your books are a great way. I mean, it's one reason this program, Love, Lust, and Laughter, exists. My mission is to get out good, solid information to as many people as possible.
Absolutely.
And Progressive Radio Network is heard in other countries, so there are lots of possibilities for getting heard, getting the information out. And
I want to bring up something we didn't talk about before,
please.
But it's related to this. You know that on my blog, nakedatourage.com, I review sex toys as one of the many things I do there.
Yeah.
But I've recently started giving voice to a male reviewer. He is a therapist, a sex therapist, and he's of our age, and maybe a little older, in fact, than both of us.
And who is that?
And his name is David Pittle, P-I-T-T-L-E. And he reviewed the Tenga Egg, which is a masturbation sleeve for men.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason I'm bringing this up now is that he made a point that you don't have to have an erection to enjoy the pleasures of using this egg.
I'm so glad you are mentioning this. So this is on your blog, and that's nakedatrh.com.
Right, and it's the most recent review, actually.
The most recent
review. Right now. And the reason that this is really important is that many sex toys for men, you're expected to have an erection before you use it.
You know,
put erect penis in this, or whatever this thing might be. But this is the reason it's for the listeners who've never heard of the Tenga egg. T-E-N-G-A is the brand name. There's a link to how to obtain them in my blog post or David's Life blog post. But the egg comes from the shape of the container. The container looks like a plastic egg. Then you take the egg apart, and inside there's this squishy, it's a sleeve that goes around the penis, and you masturbate with it, and it just adds a little extra texture and squish, and there's a design on the inside so that you feel a little bit of more texture than you would if it had just been the sleeve without texture. And David makes the point that you can masturbate with it without having an erection. Just envelop the penis in it and go ahead and play. And it just feels really good. It feels pleasurable for men who either don't have a partner or who enjoy self-pleasuring even if they do have a partner, which is just marvelous. I don't think it should be an either or.
Absolutely, it should not be an either or, and that's such good information, Joan. And so many men with erectile dysfunction are depressed about it. A lot of guys very much identify themselves with their penis, and especially a very functioning penis that can get erect. So if they can have pleasure with a flaccid penis with a sex toy like this.
And even for the, as long as we're on the subject, even using the sex toys that are generally intended for clitoral stimulation for women, they can feel so good on the penis.
Yes, I recently recommended the WeVibe Touch, T-O Touch. It's a blue kind of, if you go to weave-vibe.com, and the head of this WeVibe and the inventors were on this program some months ago. But I have a young man in my practice who, because of an accident, doesn't have much genital sensation. So I recommended the Touch Vibrator to him, along with some other sensate focus exercises. And lo and behold, he's beginning to feel more sensations.
Yay.
A lot of guys think if they use vibrators on their genitals, whether it's the penis or the scrotum or whatever, that it's somehow gay, and I put that in quotes. And it's not.
Obviously, it's not. Sensation is sensation.
Yeah. No, and so it sensation is yes, exactly right.
Yeah.
So that's good that you have this up on your blog, and I'm going to check that out. And so anything else from a recent review that you can share with our listening audience?
People are interested in the sex toy reviews. If you go to the right-hand column there under the place it says labels, I think it's labels, not categories, either one, there's all the kinds of topics that I've written about over the past 6 years. So if you want, for example, to read sex toy reviews, just click on sex toys and you'll find about 70 of them. 70. Told you I had a house.
Impressive, Joan. Very impressive. So yeah, they can go and read, and this is any age listeners.
It's any age listener for sure, but I do the reviews specifically from an older age perspective.
Yes, of course.
For example, will it hurt the arthritis in your wrist to hold on to this thing for any length of time?
Oh, that's
will
a good one.
Will it keep going for as long as we need it, or will it lose its charge or catch fire?
Mm.
Can it be turned up as strong as we like it? So there are some things that are specific to our age that I emphasize. As far as I know, I'm the only reviewer who does that.
I haven't heard of another one.
No,
and
another part of that is many sex toy reviewers, there are many wonderful sex toy reviewers, but they often like the dildos or the penetrating part of a vibrator to be as thick and big as possible. And I don't. I want them slim, and I think many women of my age prefer them slim.
Uh-huh.
Once our vaginal walls are thin, we do not relish the same kind of size that we might have liked before, or maybe it never mattered. I think it matters more to men than to women anyway in the first place, the idea of size. But now size matters in that slim is often preferable.
I have a 65-year-old couple, and they're really rediscovering a lot after many, many years of marriage. And so she measured her husband's penis and the girth and then went looking for a dildo that matched
him. It was the same size?
Yeah. Which was, you know, kind of a 5.5-inch penis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she wanted. She didn't want a big old dildo.
Yeah.
And you're right. Vaginal. Of course, when we talk about vaginal walls, and this is why I think it's important for women to, if they don't have a partner and they're not having regular intercourse, they need to be self-pleasuring with a dildo and bearing down on the dildo and using plenty of lubrication and all of that because,
yes.
Once again, we have use it or lose it.
Yes.
Those PC muscles need to be exercised.
Yes.
And
they need to be taught how to relax as well as contract.
That's a good point. Yeah, say a little more about that from what you know.
Yes. Often when women who do not have regular penetrative sex experience what they perceive as tightening of the entrance, and I learned from Ellen Barnard, from A Woman's Touch. I learned so much from her. She's one of the experts in Naked at Our Age.
I know.
Often what it can be is that those muscles have learned to contract, but they have forgotten how to relax. And so
an interesting point. Yeah. Good.
It isn't that the opening is different size, but it seems like a different size because it is not relaxing. And so she has, and I've got this in both of the books, is her tips for the best way to do Kegel exercises, which is to emphasize the relaxation at the end of each contraction, to contract, 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 and then relax, relax more, relax more. You're doing this with me, right, Diana? Relax.
I am now.
and then the other part to that is to use either dildos or dilators or fingers or something for penetration to get those muscles healthy again so that they do what they're designed to do, contract and totally relax.
That's such good information.
It is.
And it's new to me, and I read and all the time and about sexuality. So, and that's in your book, and so I obviously need to reread that.
That's
or maybe
where is it? I can't remember which chapter it's in because it fits so many different chapters.
Yes.
Oh, I think it's in the solo sex chapter.
Solo sex, that would make
up.
Sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, the at its extreme, women, and they're usually younger women, have vaginismus, which is where the vaginal opening contracts so much that penetration isn't even impossible.
Right. And that happens to older women, too.
It does. Actually, it does. Yes, it does.
You know that there are pelvic floor therapists who are experts in teaching women how to relax their pelvic floor?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I've had a number of vaginismus clients, and I work collaboratively with a physical therapist who does these pelvic floor. She has a specialty in pelvic floor. And there are a number of treatments for vaginismus, but that's another program.
Yeah.
But it most always is a physiological expression of some prior psychological trauma, either sexual abuse or sometimes extreme religious beliefs. And I've had some clients where they waited until marriage, didn't want to lose their virginity, and then lo and behold, they try to have intercourse on their wedding night and they can't. So that's kind of sad.
That is. But they came to you.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
I have some nice success stories about that. But, you know, there's lots of stress around vaginismus, around cancer, around sexuality, and stress may include concerns about changes and how a body looks, and worry about health and family or money, or the result of treatment side effects, including fatigue. Now we're back to cancer and hormone changes. But the good news about all of this is that with the right reading and maybe even help, therapeutic help, and getting your doctor to talk about it, sometimes that's a little difficult, but you may find that intimacy takes on a new meaning, and you can relate differently. For instance, hugging, touching, holding, cuddling may become more important, while penetrative sex may become less important.
Right.
And, but, you know, kind of overall, and this is why I love your book, because it can stimulate good communication. Because I think this is the key to staying sexually active or resuming your sex life with a partner after illness. And we haven't really talked about this, but I'd like to spend, we have a couple more minutes. Some partners may worry that, for instance, that physical closeness will hurt the person who has illness or cancer. And you had a concern with Robert, which you talked to his doctor about. And that was with whether his chemo would affect you.
Yes. This was after Robert's last chemo treatment. And believe me, he did not feel sexy after 6 months of chemo. But what he did feel was wanting to reclaim the intimacy with his wife, whom he loved, wanting to affirm, oh, my gosh, my body is capable of pleasure again, wanting to get back to life rather than having a body that was just there to be sit in a chair and have needles dripping something in for 6 hours. He wanted his body to be his body again.
His body again.
Yes, and to enjoy, to affirm that yes, he was still alive. That this was that all this treatment would we would appreciate that he had done this because it was giving him back some years of life and health. So all of this was going on, which led up to him saying, we want to make love, don't we? And I, yeah, we do. But what we didn't know is, would there be chemo residue in his ejaculate that would be harmful to me?
Right.
And he had been given this packet of information, a huge packet of information, almost like a big notebook, everything he could possibly need to know after chemo, except there was no mention of sex.
So what an oversight. So then
really?
You called and said...
He called and explained the question, and they said, oh, We'll call you right back. Like, they'd never been asked that. So they did call right back, and they said that that 2 weeks would be, that we should use condoms for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would be out of his system enough. And I learned later from one of the cancer experts at ASECT, I asked about that, and she said it really depends on the combination of drugs, that it isn't 2 weeks for everyone, that it could vary depending on what you actually were given. So it should be a conversation with your doctor. And I just thought it was pretty amazing that with this packet of information, there would be nothing that says, oh, and if you are in the mood for sex, here's what you need to know.
Well, Joan, you have enlightened us once again. I do thank you so much.
My pleasure, Diana, always.
We'll have you back soon. What I wrote about your book is aging brings advantages to sexuality and sexual communication. It is affirming. It is smarter, less urgent, and more honest.
Ooh, nice. I love that.
Sustaining sexuality and sustaining physical exercise should be a common life goal. Love and sex need not go stale with time, but like a successful garden, it needs plenty of attention. And I want to also finish with, I think, a very cute little poem. I did not write this. Two cancer phobes from South Boston used frequent sex as a precaution. They indulged night and day in every known way and expired from chronic exhaustion. So we need to keep laughing. We need to have a perspective. And Joan, again, many thanks to you. And listeners, I'll be back next week. And please tune in then. We'll have another provocative topic.
Se ti perderai nel labirinto di un amaro autore. Ma i tuoi piedi, tap, 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 tap. Ma i tuoi piedi.